and how obviously it's because it's unfamiliar, it's often something that frightens people, or you think it's hard to deal with. But the reality of it is it's just simply unfamiliar. And in a way, you don't have to know a lot of Hebrew. So I was making a Harry Potter reference where they use Latin words like Expelliarmus or Avacadavra, the cadaver, the killing spell, or the so these are symbolic phrases, and in a certain senses they hold intention and image. And the Hebrew letters themselves are pictographs. So I'm going to just spend a wee bit of time looking at the black and white thing, and then I'll just come to the colour document I've given you in just a second. Because basically this is just a helpful scrib sheet, really, to kind of remind you what these forms are. So I'll come to the derivation of them later when I look at the colour document. But this really is the Hebrew alphabet as it's mainly used both in modern Hebrew and in the Kabbalah. And so what you've got? We've got this column with the letter, then the name of that letter spelled out in Hebrew, then the pronunciation of it, Aleph. Now in Hebrew, the letters have numbers. But also they have, because they're originally pictographs, they have images that are connected with them. So the letter Aleph at the top, as we can see, is spelt with the letter Aleph, Lamed, and the letter at the end is Pei in its final form. So if you look at the bottom of that graph, certain letters, when they're at the end of a word, have a slightly different form. So the letter Pei, which you will find on the second side, on the right hand side of the diagram, in its normal form, is slightly different. They always normally have kind of tails going down, or a closed loop in the case of the mem. So Aleph there is just spelt out in full. Hebrew is a consonantal language, so that the consonant and the vowels are indicated by vowel pointing. We don't have to get into all the detail of that. It doesn't really matter, because this is an oral tradition. You pick it up by hearing and speaking. So if we look at the Aleph, we're looking at it has the number one. It's connected to the idea of unity, and it has the idea of being, and the image is of an ox or a bull.
What does it say, unity, on there?
It says, well, I'm saying unity because it's not contained here, because it has the number one. One represents unity.
What does the M mean?
No idea what that means. That's something, that's some little thing the builders didn't put in there. I don't kind of quite know what that means, really.
Let's not worry about that.
So I don't think we need to worry about that. I have no idea. Because they've got it again in the mem, so unless they say it further down. No, they don't really indicate what that is about, I don't know.
It's a mystery.
So that has to remain as a mystery. The second letter is Beit. It means house. It's got a numerical value of 2. So in English it's got the equivalent of B or V, or it's BV. It's a complicated thing to pronounce, but it's a cross between a B and a V. The third letter down is Gimel. So the number derivation is 3, and it's a camel, equivalent to the letter G.
So what you said, when you said the first word,
Aleph,
unity was connected with ox or bull, Yes. And one. And the house with two.
Yeah.
Does house mean house?
House means house. So, okay. so basically the images on there just mean the image of a. So Gimel is the image of a camel. Dalet, which is the next one down, is the image of a door, and so on. Right. So they are pictographic letters. So the letter Vav, so Hey, which is the second letter of the divine name, is seen as a window, and therefore seen as something that an enclosure that transmits light. The letter Vav, which is the third letter of the divine name, is a nail, is something therefore that fastens things together. The letter Zayin that follows it is seen as a sword which separates. So basically, in my training, really, as a Kabbalist, at one time, I would meditate upon these letters. I would meditate upon their shapes, and upon their meaning, and upon their numeration, in the sense of just pondering over them, just hanging out with them, really. And very often what you find is those shapes come to life and you get into a kind of a dialogue with them. And so what happens is that it's just like when you're working with a tree, just as you bring the tree into yourself, you bring the letters become part of you. And it's a question, the whole thing really is a question of familiarization. It's not an exercise you do for very long. You just spend 5 or 10 minutes hanging out with Aleph, say, and hanging out with the idea of the one, the numeral one, first letter of the alphabet, hanging out to the idea of the ox. And you just imagine the letter. So if you right now, if we all just look at the letter Aleph, and just let that shape kind of impress itself upon you. And then just close your eyes. And just notice the effect of gazing at the letter Aleph. You can recall it, visualize it, sense it with you. And then just open your eyes and come out again. And then further down, come to the fifth letter down, the letter He. So just look at the letter He. Enumeration of five, the meaning of a window, that which allows light to pass through it. And then just close your eyes and just feel that vibration, that sense of the hay. And open your eyes and then come to the letter Yod, down almost the last letter of that first column. And just look at the Yod. enumeration of 10, the image of the hand. And just close your eyes. And again, just let that reverberate inside you. Letting the yod speak to you. Letting it become part of you. Then finally, just open your eyes and come back to the letter He. And again, just looking at the letter. Sense of the window. Then closing your eyes again, feeling that quality. Just every way you can. Then just open your eyes and come out again. And now we're just going to look at the first God name of the Tree of Life, E'aye, which is Aleph He Yod He. So if we just take that sense of the Aleph, so look at the Aleph. Ox, the great bull, the number of unity, and we look at the hay, that is the window, that's the transmission of light. We look at Yod, that is the number 10, that is the hand. Come back to the letter He that is the window. So just putting the letters together, Aleph He, Yod He. Closing your eyes and coming to Aleph He, Yod He. Sense of the great ox that moves the stars, the window that enables the transmission of light, the hand that reaches out, the window that transmits light. E'aye. You might experience the Aleph, moving in a circular way, turning upon itself, We might experience the first He as an opening. We might experience the Yod as a straight line or as a fiery directional point manifesting through another opening. Just bringing your attention out again. So that's the sort of thing you then can start to do. You start to make yourself familiar with the letters. As you become familiar with the letters, you then look at the names on the Tree of Life and you see them as combinations of energies. They have their own particular meaning as a word, but they also are formed out of the concourse of the letters. That's like a formula of intention.
Is there time for a question? Or?
Yeah, totally. I've absolutely time for a question. Yeah.
There's two things. The first, I'm missing something. I think Aleph Hey Yod Hey.
Yeah.
We don't sing that, we sing
Aya. Yeah, because that's, so if we were singing the letters out, so. So if you're just singing, so there's numerous of ways of chanting. You can chant the letters, which is just, we are spelling out the patterns of the letters.
Yeah.
Which is such as I've just done. Aleph, Hey, Yud, Hey. But putting them together as a word, as the sound values come together, it's A-I-A. That's because the vowel sounds then come in, can come into it. So we can do it, spell it out constantly, but once you include the vowel sounds, then the sound smooths and alters and has its own intention.
Thank you. The second thing is, but we've got these word values here, oxen, bull, and
yeah. Well, these are the images, old images of the.
But what we haven't got, I mean, the ox is the quality of irrigation. You say so that I remember that. But what we need really are the qualities, don't we?
Yeah.
Of these sound pictures.
Yeah. And what you will find happening as you focus on the root idea and the shape of the letter, is as they start to come to life, because they are archetypal, they'll acquire substance and meaning, and it's a bit like the Book of Isaiah, skeletons coming to life. So these are the skeletons of the tree. So as we brood over them, as we breathe over them, they come to life. So they acquire, I mean, obviously there are books you can buy which will tell you the whole hosts of meanings of the letters, but they come from this practice of just contemplating the letter, contemplating the root idea, and then that expanding by your own contemplation, really.
Yeah. I look, taking Yod as an example, there's hand.
Yeah.
But my understanding of the quality is creative vitality.
Yes.
Exactly. But
so it's the hand.
See how I would ever get. I mean, it looks a bit like a flame, but maybe I'd get that from contemplating it.
Yes, you would. So you trust the shape as well, right? So it's like a flame. It's also like a hand that shapes and directs things.
Yeah.
So you'd hold both those ideas together. So that's exactly it. What you just described is spot on.
Yeah.
So the shape is suggestive, the idea is suggestive, and as those come together, you start to get a sense of the activity, archetypal activity of the letter.
You seem to be saying no shortcuts.
Well, there are books. There are plenty of books you can read, but truthfully, then you just have this deluge of information about them, and in some ways, it's kind of better to build up your own set of associations and trust your own associations.
Thank you.
Could I ask you to just carry on pronouncing them? We've got to Zane.
Okay.
Just so that I hear.
So you hear the sound? Okay,
yeah.
Sure. So the next one is Ket. Represents this got a field here, but it's also the fence around a field. Then Tet, which is the serpent. And then Yod or Yud, depending on the inflection. Then calf. Now here they've got closed hand, but it can be either the closed hand or the open hand, depending on the intention. So then we go to the next, called top of the next column. We come to Lamed, which is the ox goad. And having, you know, we've gone to, with Yod we completed a cycle. We went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, let the numeral 10. Kaf is the beginning. So Yod is the beginning. 1 to 9 is the first sequence. Yod is the beginning of a new sequence where we go 10, 20. So Lamed, the ox goad, is 30. Then we come to Mem or Mime, which is again depending on Eastern or Western pronunciations, is water and has the numeral 40. Then Nun, which is the number 50, which is a fish. Then Samek, which is 60, which is a prop or a crutch. In Ayin.
Say that again, sorry?
Ayin.
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 Which is the I, or and then the numeral 70. And next is Pei, which is the numeral 80 and is the mouth. And then Tzadi.
Say that again,
sorry. Tzadi.
Tzadi.
Tzadi. Tzadi, that's it, you got it. Tzadi. That's the numeral 90 and is a fish hook. And then Kof. To back of the head, numeral 100. Then Resh. Which is the head, not the back of the head, but the head, like the Welsh pen, and it represents 200.
That's so like a door, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Slight difference. It's one more flowing letter. The door has like a door jamb top and a straight. The resh flows down from. And then the letter Shin, which is 300, and represents the teeth. And finally the letter Tau or Tav, which represents, numeral is 400 and represents a cross or a mark.
Okay.
finally, but then we've got 500, 600, 700, 800.
These are the final letters. Just remember, there are letters then. That are the repeat of the other letters, but they're in their final form, and they're used as numbers. So you've got to remember that numbers and letters are interchangeable here. Okay, in Hebrew, you don't have Roman numerals. It's the letters. The letters are the things used to calculate. So the letter kaf in its final form. Because if you look at letter kaf there, just above it, you've got its form, and it's in the beginning or the middle of a word, where it curves round there.
It's a different picture.
Okay. So if you look at the kaf underneath, this is the kaf at the end of a word. It's got that long tail that goes down.
Yeah.
And then it represents 500. If we look at the letter mem, which is at the top of the second column,
mm-hmm.
and if we look at the mem at the bottom, the mem is closed now. It's a closed circle, and it represents 600. If we look at the letter nun, which is underneath that first mem that represents a fish, the final one doesn't have a crossbar at the bottom. It has a long tail going down.
Why haven't we got hay final? Because you always talk about hay final.
Well, the final hay is a hay with a little dot in the middle of it.
Why isn't that one here?
Well, the letters of the divine name are different. Right? So, yod, hay, vav, hay. The other names we can pronounce as, and they have different pronunciations. We always spell out the letters yud, he, vav, he, because the pronunciation of the divine name is not known.
Is it not Yahweh?
No. Yahweh is a substitution.
It's pretty, isn't it? I love it. Mad,
we're
not mad.
Yeah, it is mad. No, Yahweh is a substitution. It doesn't.
Is that because you're not supposed to speak?
Yes, because only the high priest can speak the full name at Yom Kippur, at the moment of restitution.
Yeah, does he know the final name?
He does know the final
name.
Well, we don't know, because he is no longer a Jewish high priest.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's lost.
It's a lost name.
His Kabbalah means by ear or something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
lovely. There is a whole tradition about the finding of the lost name, and of the uniting of the letters of the lost name in Kabbalah. It's that's one of the great Kabbalistic myths, really, of the search for, is the embracing of the brokenness and the bringing together of unity. So the uniting of the letters of the name.
Is it like a Kabbalistic grail?
Yes, it is. It is exactly a Kabbalistic grail. The letters of the, as you unite the letters of the name, you become the living name. So when last month we were looking at that ani yud he vav he, what we're doing is bringing that sense of bringing the name into our bodies and being available for the appearance within us of the presence of the name. So if I chant ani yud he vav he, ani yud he vav he. Now the word ani means I am. But if I say so, basically it's a sort of mad little chant that I am God. So I start chanting I am God. And I have to tell you, when you do this in Jerusalem, people look a bit askance there. So again, Israelis, who secular Israelis, think, what the hell's he on, really, who don't know the tradition. But what that means is you take that sense of I am-ness and you bring it together with the image of the lost name, but you combine the letters of the name in your body. Now, one of the other ways that it said in the time of early Alexandria, one of the ways they had of pronouncing the lost name is by the vowel chant Yao, and it kind of goes a bit like this: Yahweh, where the E represents the yod. The first he is R. The letter Vav is represented by the vowel sound O, and the another inflection of the Aleph sound A represents the final he. So it goes Yahweh, 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 Ani Yudevavhei, Yahweh. So there are all kinds of different sonic things that you can do, right, where you play with the sounds, you play with the letter shapes, you visualize the letter shapes, you work with the sounds, but you're working really with intention and imagination and focusing your will to enable the letters of the name to come together in you, so that you become the generative source. So you become at one, in a certain sense, you could say the name is written in your flesh. And you become the, if you like, the anchor and the living talisman that transmits the energy of the name.
So, Yahweh, Jehovah, yeah. Yah, whatever you want, you know, all those, the sounds made into a name.
Yeah, they're all attempts. Well, in a certain sense, they're all attempts to sound the lost name.
But then they become the symbol of.
Well, they become the derivative symbol of the name. Now, as you can work with any one of those sounds, and patterns, and through your intention and through your kind of work, in a sense, come into relationship with the archetype, with the essence. That is the lost name. In a way, this is that principle that's behind Colette's phrase of the bone pointing to itself. Right. So the appearance of everything is linked back to the essence it comes from. Things diverge massively, okay, in appearance. But in a universe where there is a fundamental unity underneath things, if you work with the appearance, no matter how far away the appearance is, as long as you work with it with honest intention and follow the process that then is generated, you come back to the essence. You come back to the pure energy, the pure sense of possibility that's underneath the form. Now, if you're doing this with the various names of the tree, for example, if we were to do this with Elohim Gibor, the essence you come to is that martial essence of clarity. So you come to, not so much, so you come to a sense of clarity and focus and boundary and cutting through and liberating. If you do this with the word Al, we come to the sense of loving kindness, the irrigating kindness that irrigates the worlds. If we do it with Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh Alova Da'at, we come into the sense of heartedness and balance.
Earlier today, you were talking about what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
But you added in love. There's a love in each of those places.
Yeah.
Which, if felt rather wonderful.
Well, is it? Well, they're all
he's in a place of love.
Oh, completely. They're all gradation. They're all gradations of love, right? So they because they all because actually, what comes out of the supernals is this desire to be, desire to create through love. Yeah, through love and by love. So, because the fundamental energies here are of being, of willing and loving, and the sefirot of creation and formation, and action, are then, if you like, aspects of the combination of will and love.
I've been struggling with this. It's really difficult to put it into words, and I'm sure I'm going to be really insensitive in trying, but there's a part of me that feels a sort of resistance to kind of, in my ignorance, unwittingly joining in with some sort of identity of Israel and the Zionist kind of energy that's going on and has been for a long time. I'm just puzzling with it. Like I feel it when we are doing the chanting. I feel this edge of resistance and quite like, what is that? Then there's a part of me that sort of wants to go back to a time, I suppose, when, in my imagination, I guess, a time when it wasn't connected with this. What is it, this sort of thing? Fundamentalism, I guess. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
I understand what you're saying, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Kabbalah comes out of Europe. It's an European phenomenon. Right? It doesn't come out of the Zionist movement. It comes out of a fusion between Greek and Greek and Hebrew ideas, and the great infusion of Egyptian and Christian Gnosticism. So so obviously it draws on the deep roots of Hebrew tradition for sure, because it's, you know, Hebrew, but also the way in which the tree is presented. The way in which it's worked with has nothing at all to do with Zionism. You know what happens, in fact, in Israel is Hebrew. Hebrew is the sacred language, right? Was always the sacred language. Now it up until the founding of Israel and the reinvention of Israel of Hebrew as a secular language. You would find in European Jewry, Yiddish was the kind of form of German, was the Jewish language. There's a form of Oriental Spanish and Oriental Arabic that was used in the Sephardic communities, and Hebrew was only ever used in the synagogue in the services. Now, talking earlier about the problems my Israeli students had with Adonai, because Adon is Mister in contemporary Israel, because the language became quite consciously reinvented by Zionists as the recreation of the Israeli state, you know, so that. So it's complicated. You can't say there's no relationship between them, but there isn't a fundamental relationship between Hebrew and the activities of the Israeli state and the activities of Zion. In fact, really Orthodox Kabbalists in Israel do not recognize the Israeli state, because they regard the Israeli state and in fact regard Zionism as a heresy, because the Israel is supposed to be refounded by the Messiah when the Messiah comes to found the kingdom of justice and peace. So it is complicated. So I guess, particularly as we can see what Netanyahu and his cohorts are doing at the moment. So, you know, it's studying Hebrew is complicated. You know, just like, for example, studying Chinese Buddhism perhaps can be complicated if you're a great lover of Tibet. You know, you can feel like you're on the side of the enemy. But the tradition, I mean, obviously we all have to resolve these things in our own way, really. But the I guess all I can say about it is there's no fundamental connection between the Kabbalah and Zionism, and yet and it is absolutely true that every religious tradition gets hijacked by politics. So of course there are aspects of Judaism that draw on the Kabbalah, that draw on the idea of the Greater Israel and the settler movement in particular do that. But that isn't intrinsic, so that's just something getting hijacked and perverted.
Now that's really helpful. So when, say, we're chanting